Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. George Gray, Assistant Administrator for Research and Development at EPA. Also joining us in our conversation is Pete Boyer, Director in IBM's Federal Consulting Practice. George, given your broad background and in working with academia, as you described earlier, we'd like to get a sense of your management approach. Could you provide us with an overview of this approach?
Sure, and I think actually the time I spend in academia is part of a strong part of the explanation. I see an awful lot of management as teaching. It's setting priorities. It's understanding where you need to go, but then it's helping to get others to understand why it's important for us all to be working that same direction. I guess it's not quite a carrot, not quite a stick. I'm not quite sure what the right description is. But I mean, I have actually, in my time at ORT, I have gone back and pulled out teaching materials from my time at Harvard, pulled them out and sat down with a group and talked to them. This is why it's important that we move in this direction. And it works. That's something that works with people. It engages them. And I think it's an important part of the way in which I approach management. The other thing that I do is I think that it's important to have clear goals for people. I mean, people have to know where they're supposed to be going. And having clear goals and those expectations is important. But I'll tell you, and this is no secret, management doesn't come naturally to scientists. And it's something that an awful lot of people need work for. I happen to be very lucky. And when I was talking to the administrator about potentially taking this job, he said, you know, up there at Harvard, you're responsible for about 5 people and a couple $1 million in a good year. ORD is 2,000 people with a $600 million budget. And I did tell him I had one little special seeker and I had a management consultant at home. My wife taught at Harvard Business School. But from that, I'll tell you that I developed a real respect for an understanding of the importance of management, something that isn't part of a standard scientific education, something I think has really helped me.
That's fantastic. You alluded to this in one of your previous responses about the combination of finite resources and the multitude of priorities that you have and the careful attention to funding these priorities and the choices that you have to make around these. How does ORD evaluate its existing programs and, wherever possible, consider them for modification, redirection, reduction, or even termination?
Well, it's a very important thing for us to do, to look very carefully at the science we're doing and making sure that it's the most effective and most relevant science for the agency. We really do this in a two-part system. It's almost like a matrix management approach in that I work with what I call my executive council. It's ORD's board of directors. It's the heads of our lab centers and offices. And we work as a group to help to set these priorities and to plan. But the other thing that we have is we've got a system in which we've instigated what we call National Program Directors, or NPDs. And they're responsible for looking at the research that we do in a particular area. We have an NPD for ecological research. We have one for drinking water. We have another one for pesticides. And their job is to look across the organization, all of those different laboratories that I talked about, and make sure and look at the research that we're doing in their particular area. So that we have – I always make a – sort of think of it as rows and columns. Our laboratories are rows and the NPDs go down the columns. And they help us between them to get a good picture of where we are. The NPDs also have the job, the National Program Directors, of working with the program offices and say, what do you need, so that we're being responsive to our customers, the rest of EPA. But they're also involved then in setting these priorities because everybody's needs exceed what we can do, just not only because of resources, because of people power. So we work hard to be responsive and to work and with a collaborative decision-making approach. But all of us know how important it is for us to make sure we're doing the right science for the agency.
Now, George, a related question. How do you measure the return on investment given the future-oriented nature of R&D programs? And what are some of the unique challenges you face when measuring performance and results within the R&D area?
Well, Pete, that's one of the biggest challenges that we face. It really is tough. We do work. We can look at the things that we do with short-term work where the Office of Water came to us and said, we need a quick way to tell if we need to close a beach. And we were responsive. We did that. We can follow the product that we came out with and see its applications in the environment. But remember, I said another important part of what ORD does is try to look over the horizon. We've got to be doing basic research that's going to support the agency's mission for the next 10 or 20 years. We want the agency to be ready when the new challenges come. And knowing how to evaluate the effectiveness of that research, to monitor the productivity of that research, is really hard. And it's something we're working very hard to measure. It's an important priority for this administration and for the leadership of EPA, that all of us think about how we do it. And we're working to confront that challenge right now in ORD.
Now, to engage in proper R&D program evaluations, as you've talked about, could you describe how your office uses independent validation panels, such as EPA's Board of Scientific Counselors, or BOSC, to assess your program's utility and performance?
Working with outside scientists is a really important way in which we evaluate the work that we're doing. So we have a variety – at the agency, we have a variety of advisory committees, the Science Advisory Board being one of the most important ones. Within ORD, we have our Board of Scientific Counselors, and we call them the BOSC. And these are independent experts from – or not just around the country, from around the world, who come in and help us with program evaluations. They will look at our land program. They'll look at our drinking water program. They'll evaluate the work that we've done, the effectiveness it's had, the scientific quality, and even give us some advice and say, here's an area that, you know, at this point, this is not as high a priority. There's more important work to be done over here. It's a form and a source of advice that we find really, really useful. So again, as a scientific organization, it's helpful to have those outside scientists, the peers, who are reviewing our science and our scientists and helping to give us advice. And we appreciate the hard work that those folks put in.
George, in November of 2005, your organization awarded $40 million to establish 5 cutting-edge research centers to study the health effects on particulate matter. Could you identify the centers and tell us about the type of research each center is performing?
Sure. Particulate matter is arguably one of the biggest pollution issues that the EPA faces. And just in late September, we issued new ambient air quality standards for particulate matter. And one of the things we noted there is that we need more science to make better decisions. And ORD is helping to support the agency to develop that new science for the next time we come back to our ambient air quality standards for particulate matter. These particulate matter research centers that we establish around the country are world-class scientists that are teaming up and trying to help us understand more about particulate matter so we can make better decisions. For example, at Johns Hopkins Center is using Medicare data to investigate how particulate air pollution contributes to hospitalization and deaths. There's a group in Southern California looking at the toxicity, how the toxicity of these particles is affected by their composition. One of the most important questions we have is a particle, or does it matter what it's made of? It's very important for how we decide to manage that risk. We have a group at the University of Rochester that's looking at very, very small particles, and they're looking at potentially susceptible subpopulations like diabetics. Are there groups of people who are potentially more susceptible to these particles? At Harvard, at the School of Public Health, their PM Center is looking at whether an aging population might have different responses to particulate matter. So they're working with a particular cohort of veterans and looking at their responses as their exposure to particulate matter changes. And then out at the University of California, Davis, they're working in the San Joaquin Valley. It's one of the worst areas for particulate air pollution in the country, looking at how PM might affect the normal biology of the heart and the lungs. So all of these are efforts for us to get more information to help make better decisions down the road on some of the most important issues that the agency faces.
What does the future hold for the EPA? We will ask Dr. George Gray, Assistant Administrator for Research and Development at EPA, to discuss this with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.